The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, and look at these verses one more time, where it says, "He that planteth and he that watereth are one." So please understand that there are those that go out, and there are those that, if you would, please, will go soul winning, and here's what's happening. They're planting a seed, and then somebody else comes along, and they water that seed. And then, of course, the Bible says, "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Now, there are those that go, and they would plant. There's those that come along, and they would water. And then, of course, we understand the Bible teaches that God gives the increase. God is the one that gives the increase. But there are those that do actually get to reap. There are those that have the opportunity to be able to lead people to Christ. I know I was talking to a man out Saturday as we were out soul winning, and we knocked on a door, and Brother Bradley was my partner, and we were out soul winning in a neighborhood, knocked on a door. 55-year-old man stood there at the door, invited us in. We went in. I had the privilege to walk him through the plan of salvation. He bowed his heart. He received Christ as Savior. And let me tell you about this man. He hung on every single word. I mean, he was just right there engulfed with every single word that I said, all right? Well, the Bible says here, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, you can say amen right there, because you're not laboring by yourself. You're not laboring. You're not going out. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm going out soul winning. I feel by myself." You're never by yourself. The Bible says ye are God's husbandry. The Bible says ye are God's building. All right, we know that you have a tabernacle. We know that you have an earthly tabernacle. We know that God has tabernacled in you by way of the Holy Spirit. We know that the temple of God is that which God has bought with a price, and God says we're supposed to glorify him in our body and our mind, our spirit, those things which are his. And we understand that before salvation, there is no foundation that you're standing upon, because the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is that foundation. And we'll go there in just a minute, but let me show you exactly what takes place. Take your Bible and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the foundation. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, now you can build upon that foundation. Did you know a lost person has no foundation? You didn't get that. I said a lost person has no foundation. So a person that's believing in baptism regeneration has no foundation. A person that is believing that you get to heaven by works has no foundation. The foundation that is laid is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3, rather, in verse 10, the Bible says that that as a wise master builder, he says, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." All right, so what does that mean? All right, so Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that before salvation, you are dead. I am dead in trespasses and sin. Now, what takes place when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior is he quickens you. That means he makes you alive. He makes you alive. He quickens you. All right, so what happens is this. Before salvation, you're dead in trespasses and sin, almost like a person laying here on the platform. They're dormant. They're laying here. There's no life in them. Let's say that they're dead. Then all of a sudden, God breathes into them that which is life by way of the Holy Spirit. They become alive, talking about their spiritual body, if you would please, their spiritual being, that spiritual person, if you will. God quickens them. God makes them alive through Christ Jesus. And now what happens as they're quickened and they're made alive, now they stand on the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only way they're going to go to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." But the Bible says that as we stand upon that which is our foundation, who is Jesus Christ, then we have a responsibility to build thereupon. All right? So Jesus Christ becomes our foundation. By the way, it has to be that personal relationship. A person does not become a believer, does not become saved because mama is saved. A person does not become a believer, does not become saved because daddy said they're saved. You have to be careful, those of us that have children, not to tell your children, well, you don't need, let's say a child is now 10 years of age and the child comes to you at age 10 and says, well, I tell you what, I'm really bothered about this and I'm really not absolutely sure that what I did when I was 4 and a half or when I was 5 or when I was 6 or 7, I'm not really sure what I did. I'm just not really sure about that. It's hazy. And I'm not really sure. And a matter of fact, I've got more doubt than I have a reasonable hope that lieth in me. And I tell you, Dad, I really think I need to be saved. Well, look, don't talk to your child ever out of salvation. Somebody came and they said, well, Pastor, what if I have a child and the child wants to get saved over and over and over again? It's embarrassing. Well, first off, don't let it be embarrassing to you. Parent says, well, when will the child ever settle it? When will they stop getting saved over and over and over again? When they truly get saved. When they truly get saved, it'll be settled. You don't ever have to worry about them. So you know, if a child makes a decision at the age of 5 and you know, you understand from them that they understand what they're talking about, let them go ahead and receive Christ as Savior. Don't hold them back. But if that same child comes back at the age of 6... don't hold them back. Don't ever look at your child and say, well, you made that decision when you were 5 years of age, and I remember what you did, and so therefore you don't ever have to do that. No, no, no. You let them make that decision. When they truly settle the matter of salvation, it'll be settled forever. By the way, that's the way it was in your life. That's the way it was in my life. Okay? And so don't ever be embarrassed by your child. Don't ever tell your child, well, let me tell you, I know that you got saved because I remember the day when you prayed. I remember the day when you walked down the aisle. Well, I remember the day when you, and isn't it amazing when we talk to people, and even out soul winning, when you talk to people, you know, when you talk to them about salvation, here's what the average person says that you meet them at the door. I remember the day I got baptized. And some of them are confused about the terminology. And once you start walking them through the plan of salvation, it's almost like the emphasis on the baptism was greater than the emphasis on salvation. And it's backwards a little bit. If ever there should be an emphasis, it ought to be an emphasis on there was a day I got saved. All right, so we understand that that foundation is Jesus Christ. All right, so what do? I decide that after I get saved, I'm going to try and live like a Christian. I'm going to try to build my life on that which is the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Now, we understand it is Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. It is Jesus Christ all the way. That foundation has eternal life. That foundation has everlasting life. That foundation doesn't have any works involved in it whatsoever. That foundation is pure grace. That foundation is through faith. That foundation is that blessed hope. But that foundation, once you do have that foundation, then what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to start building your life for Jesus Christ upon that foundation. Now, you can't build unless you have a foundation. Person says, well, I tell you what, I'm trying to be a good Christian. Okay, when did you get saved? Well, you know, I'm not sure when I got saved, but I've tried to live like a Christian all the days of my life. There's no foundation. When they were building our house 3.5-4 years ago out in Forney, we had the privilege to be able to come, and we lived in Brother Oswaldo's house for a while, and we got to travel out to Forney, and as we traveled out to Forney, we get to see them as they did certain things. We got to see them pour the pilings, and we got to see them lay the foundation. But did you know they didn't start building the rooms? They didn't start using the 2x4s. They did not start putting up the walls until first there was a foundation. Once the foundation is laid, once Jesus Christ brings that which is salvation to your life, now you've got something to build upon. Now you can build a building. Now you can build a structure. Now you can build stability. Now you can build some success. Now you can build a life. Now you can build a future on that. But without Jesus Christ, there is no building that you can build. There is no life that you can build. I hope that we never get confused from our pulpit at Parkside Baptist Church. I hope we never get confused about the matter of salvation. By the way, listen to me. So you can't expect somebody to show up to church and expect them just because they showed up to church to be like you if there's no salvation. You cannot get the cart before the horse. Because a person does not work their way to heaven. If you're putting the cart before the horse, then you're teaching a work salvation. For somebody says, well, you got to work at giving up this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin in order to become saved is a work salvation. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. It is not a working up in order to accomplish. It is fully credible to Jesus Christ. And so because it's fully credible to Jesus Christ, now that I have salvation, I can build my life upon that. Now I can build my life upon that which God has given me. May I say, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So he says, here's a person, if you would please, he's trying to gain it all, gain it all, gain it all. And boy, have I seen that. Boy, have you seen that, where a person tries, and maybe some of you public school young people, or maybe some of you young people that go to secular universities have seen people, and you begin to finite them, or maybe in the business world, you begin to ask them questions, and you find out that really they are good people, but they haven't the foggiest idea of what they're talking about. But they're good people. They will have high morals. They will have a direction. They go to church. They carry their families to church. They're good people. They know some of the same hymns that you know. They have a semblance of Christianity that is being lived out inside of their life. But all of that is null and void if they don't have the proper foundation. And that proper foundation is Jesus Christ. So a person has to understand. Now, it doesn't surprise me, may I say, it doesn't surprise me in being in a church that lives, breathes, preaches, teaches, and gives out the gospel on a regular basis. It doesn't surprise me that, yes, as years go by and your young person sits there and they hear the plan of salvation over and over again, and as they go to a Sunday school class and they have a caring teacher, and that caring teacher instructs them in the plan of salvation over and over again, it doesn't surprise me that some young people come to the realization of, okay, I did something way back then, but I don't know what it was. And I really need to receive Jesus Christ. By the way, are you listening to me? You're not in a church that is a bad church if somebody makes a decision of receiving Jesus Christ who said that they did it years ago. That means at least that church is doing the job in making sure that the plan of salvation is relatively clear over and over again for that child to come to a clear understanding of Jesus Christ. So that is not a condemning point about a church that you attend. That is really something that you can look at that is a good thing. Now, may I say, in that foundation, here's what the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24. The Bible says, and it says, and whosoever heareth. Let's talk about building a house. Now, we have a house, we have a foundation, if you will, please. Now, we're going to build. The thing that we use to build is Scripture. We use Scripture in our life to be able to put up the walls. We use Scripture in our life to be able to put in the studs. All right, so we're going to bring some substance into our life after salvation. The substance that we bring in our life after salvation is to build. Now, how do we build? Well, Christians ought to use Christianity, yea, Christian principles in order to build. Where do you get those from? You get those from your Bible. All right, and so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, therefore, it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And the Bible says, now listen now, and that it beat upon the house, and it fell not. It says, for, listen to the wording, it was founded upon the rock. All right, so God says it was founded, or the foundation was on the rock. Therefore, here comes the winds, here comes the blowing, here comes the rain. It doesn't bother it. Boy, I thank God that my house has a roof. The other night we had a storm, felt perfectly safe. Of course, I was holding my hands, the hand of my wife in great fear and trembling, but I felt safe because she was holding my hand. No, I'm kidding. But here's what we see in verse 26. The Bible says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is likened unto a foolish man that buildeth his house upon the sand." All right, so here's a person says, "Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but here's my choice. I'm going to choose to build my house over here, and over here is upon the sand. And the rain descended," the Bible says, "and the flood came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." All right, so we choose where we're going to build the house. Now, wait a minute. Okay, so I have my foundation, and I say, okay, look, I've got the money. God has provided. There's the means for me. I tell you what, God is taking care of it. My foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move my foundation, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to structure it, and I'm going to put it in a sandy place. Well, if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to grow like I should. Now, by the way, your foundation, Jesus Christ, will never crumble. He is that rock that is that solid rock. All right? There are people that do trust sand, such as baptism, or they do trust sand, such as being good. But I tell you, once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not likened unto the one that builds upon the sand that's going to wash away, because Jesus Christ will never wash away. But the problem is, once you get saved, you may choose, if you will, please, to move your body over to be able to do something that is not a wholesome thing. Therefore, the house will not be as sturdy as it should. You cannot build your house, your life, upon man's philosophy, upon worldly thinking, upon friends' opinions, upon your own feelings, upon what is popular and what is not popular, upon the devil's lies. No, it has to be built upon Scripture. Scripture. What is Scripture? Scripture is perfect. It's preserved. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's inspired. It's infallible. It's immovable. It's unshakable. It's unchanging. And when you've got that King James Bible that's sitting in your lap, can I tell you, you have all the Scripture you need. All right? And so here's what we understand. We understand this, that foundation is Jesus Christ. So your future is no better than your foundation, statement number one. Statement number two, your future is no better than the materials you put in. It's no better than the materials that you put in. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're at. Verse 12. The Bible says, "And if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, a precious stone," the Bible talks about here, it talks about wood, hay, stubble, "every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if a man's work be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire." All right, so there is some people that says, here's what I'm going to do. I've got my foundation. My foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of money for wood, so I'm going to go get me some crooked wood. Well, if you try and build upon your foundation with crooked wood, it don't work. Well, you know, I tell you what, those nails that are straight, they cost more. I think I'm going to go get some used ones that somebody pulled out a couple of houses down, and they're kind of bent, but I'll pound them out. Well, you know, that drywall is really expensive, but I know that they wrecked the house a couple of miles down the road. It's sitting in the woods. Nobody will know. I'll just go by and steal some cracked drywall. You know, when you start doing stuff like that, that is not going to be something. Let me tell you what gold, silver, and precious stone is. Gold, silver, and precious stone is your Bible reading. Gold, silver, and precious stone is your prayer life. Gold, silver, and precious stone, you can't burn it away, as your soul winning. Gold, silver, and precious stone is being obedient to your parents, respecting authority, being faithful to church, Having the right music, having the right attitude, having the modest clothing, having the right friends, having purity, having self-control, having high morals, having character, having clean thinking and clean living and separated from the world and having Bible convictions, that is gold, silver, and precious stone. Let me tell you what wood, hay, and stubble is. Wood, hay, and stubble is when you disrespect authority. Wood, hay, and stubble is when you disrespect your parents. Wood, hay, and stubble is when you're listening to the rock music, the rap music, the R&B music, the CCM music. Okay, those things, what is that? That's wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is being somebody that decides that you're going to watch a movie that's ungodly, that's going to contaminate your soul and your very way of thinking and your structured life. Wood, hay, and stubble is running with the wrong crowd that causes you to do wrong things or looking at wrong pictures on the internet site or having a wrong conversation that's down and negative about the things of God or living for yourself or skipping church or ignoring your preacher or your youth director or those that care for you or being immoral or being less than pure or unholy thinking or being filled with pride or spending your life, texting and calling and Facebooking and all those things, having the wrong companions, those things will burn. My Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers," it says, "by wrong." Now God said, "Woe unto him that does that." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we look at this again, verse 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" He says that your spirit, watch it, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. How many have ever, you ready, have ever, and we're not naming it, but how many have ever did something and you knew it was wrong, not because somebody told you it was wrong, but because inside of your heart, there was an uneasy, convicting feeling? How many of you have ever gone through that? Okay, good. All right, now there's an evidence there that there's a Holy Ghost working inside of you. Now the Bible says right here that we understand that we are the temple of God. I cannot see somebody taking a cigarette, pulling it up to the mouth and say, "I'm smoking this for the glory of God." Pull up a needle and say, "Here's what I'm gonna pump up for Jesus." No. Your body is the temple of God. And when you defile your body, what takes place is there's conviction that comes in. Now, the Bible says if any man defile the temple of God, look at verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, the Bible says, watch it now, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. He said, so that temple. Okay, what do you mean by that, preacher? How does God destroy a temple? Okay, my dad started smoking when he was 6 years old. 6 years old. My mother started smoking when she was about 8 or so. Their parents thought that it was funny to watch them, so they taught them to smoke. They light up a cigarette, and they would watch them smoke it. Wait a minute. So all those years, all coming up through their childhood life, their preteen life, their teenage life, they were doing that. Are you listening to me? My dad would smoke anywhere between 2 to 3 packs. He was a chain smoker a day. All right, wait a minute. What was the end result of that? The end result of that was that my dad died when he was 57. Died of emphysema, horrible death. Horrible death. If I wanted to die of anything, I promise you it would not be emphysema. Horrible death. Wait a minute, watch this. My mother died when she was 54. Jonathan met. He's the only one of the children. Never met, I don't believe, never met my mom. but met my dad. You know how he met my dad? He met my dad as we drove up to Delaware. We walked in the hospital room. My dad is laying there, trach tube in his throat, couldn't breathe on his own, had oxygen pumped in. Are you listening to me? And he met his grandfather as his grandfather was dying. Okay, now what am I saying? I'm saying this, there is a choice. Okay, you can build a house and you can put the studs 24 inches apart if you want to. That's not standard. I think standard is 16, is it not? 16 inches apart? Brother Boku says, don't ask me. 16 inches apart? Who builds? Who's a builder? Who's a builder? 16 inches apart? Brother Oswaldo, 16 inches apart? Thank you. Okay, so 16 inches apart. All right? But yeah, we can put them 24 inches apart if we want to. But if you put them 24 inches apart, probably you're going to have issues. Hello? Here's what we want. We always want the shortcut. God, you answer my prayer and you answer it right now. God, you take care of the situation in my life and you take care of it right now. We always want the shortcut. We always want the less costliness of it. All right, here's what we see. So the future is no better than your foundation, statement number one. Statement number two, the future is no better than the materials you put in it, statement number three. The future is no better than the laborers that work with it. No better than the laborers that work with it. You know, one thing I love about Parkside Baptist Church, we have a soul-winning church. Young people go out and they pass out tracts. And by the way, it's not just the campaign time. I know that's emphasized then, and we kind of pick it up a little bit. But there's the emphasis year-round. You know, we were running 160, 170 before we ever entered into campaign mode for the soul winning rally on Saturday. All right, now wait a minute. And so it's something we do year-round. It's not something we put on and then put off and then put on and then put off. But it's something that people have a burden for. Something that people have a desire to do. All right, that's labors. You know, labors in Sunday school. Labors on a bus route. Labors in the choir. Labors in the nursery. You know, labors that are working in different departments. We have several B Sunday school and several A Sunday school. And now we have several B junior churches. And we have our very first A junior church. And there's been many, many people that drive in on Sunday morning and their children are in the A junior church. And they don't even come in here, but they drive in and they go up to the A junior church and they're sitting there and they have the songs and they have the games and they have the preaching and it's a regular service. And boy, they're enjoying that and decisions are being made. Now, can I tell you that that is something that a laborer does? Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 4, the Bible says, and every house is builded by some man. So some man is going to build it. But the Bible says, but he that built all things are God. So every man's going to build something. But God said, let's never forget that he is the one that can really help you to build. Well, I think what I'm going to do is I really want to rear my children right, and I really don't know what to do. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the Christian bookstore and I'm going to buy as many books as I can find on godly child rearing. I think first I would go to the Bible. Go to the Bible and look up what a parent's responsibility is. By the way, the Bible is a mandate that has a manual, if you will. It's a manual that has no error. Before you run to a commentary and figure out what a verse means, it might be good to read the verse. It might be good to read it in context and to do some cross-referencing to be able to understand the direction of which God wants us to understand. You know what a commentary is? A commentary is a man's opinion about what he believes the scripture is saying. It's a man's opinion. Dr. Nash could write a commentary on the book of Colossians. Brother Jonathan could write a commentary on the book of Colossians. Brother Palmore could write one, and Brother Bulkley could write one, and Brother Smell could write one. To be honest with you, even though these are good men, there might be a slight variance in between. Hello. I've read a lot of commentaries, and I thought it was very interesting to read two commentaries that was written in the late 1800s. And as I was reading them, this one commentary writer, he was saying this over here, and this other commentary writer was saying this over here. Then there was another commentary writer that was saying, I know that so-and-so says in their commentary, and so-and-so says in their commentary, but this is the truth. And these were supposed to be scholars. And they were different. Now, wait a minute. So I'm saying this, that there has to be those that are laborers that go forward. And by the way, those that are laborers that go forward have to decide that they're going to let the Bible be able to instruct them as the way. That's why it's good for a child to listen to mama and to listen to daddy, as daddy gives them biblical counsel and biblical instruction. That's why God has given you a godly Sunday school teacher to be able to instruct you, or a godly teacher in the Christian school, or someone that's a homeschool mom that walks with God, or a godly youth pastor, or a godly preacher, or godly somebody that works in your life to be able to help. Look at it as I close it. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 8. The Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Watch what it says in verse 9. For we are laborers together, it says, with God. Ye are God's husbandry. The Bible says, ye are God's building. Then the Bible goes on, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. It says, as a wise master builder, I have laid, it says, the foundation. And another man, it says, buildeth thereon. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He says, so let's be wise about how we build thereupon. Now, by the way, you listen to me. Tonight, you can decide to build thereupon by doing that which is right, and God would so honor you, and God would so be able to work. I remember years ago, we were traveling, and a friend of mine by the name of Bob Simpson said, hey, listen, how would you like to take, and I don't know if it was Jonathan and Josh, I think it was just the two older boys, it might have been just Jonathan, I don't quite remember, but he said, how would you like to take a trip? And I said, where do you want to go? He said, well, there's an Indian pastor friend of mine out in Oklahoma. He's on a reservation. And he said, really, his church is falling down. I mean, it's just falling down around him. How would you like to take a trip and let's go out? And we're going to have to do a lot of work on it, but he's got a bathroom that's just falling through. He's got certain rooms that's just falling through. It's really sad. You know, and the people they just can't give much. And, you know, it would be a great thing, great experience. And he said, he really needs help. This is a really good brother. And I said, okay, I'm game. So we loaded up the truck and we headed out to Oklahoma. And we got out there. And when we got out there, we found out that the wood was all rotten. Water had gotten in there somehow, and so before we could take and be able to put a new flooring in that bathroom, we had to tear it all out. Before we could take and be able to paint the walls, we had to pull them all down. We basically gutted that entire church. I mean, we took up the flooring. We took down the paneling. We took down the drywall. We took out the studs. I mean, we were there for several days. There's about five of us guys, including Jonathan that I do remember, and maybe Josh was there. But there was about five of us guys, and we were tearing that thing out. And we put in 8 to 10 hours a day just working in that church, just tearing it apart and then putting new studs in. Putting down a new flooring and then putting new studs in. And it was a lot of work. But by the time we got done, praise God, you could go in any room you wanted to and you wouldn't fall through the floor. Now, I don't know how straight it was, but you didn't fall through the floor. I don't know how pretty it looked, but you didn't fall through the floor. Now, may I say, I think the important thing is that once we understand that Christ is that foundation, that we decide that that foundation, who is that rock that we have built upon, we understand this, that it's up to you to build it right. Build it straight. Make sure that you put the right type of wood in there. Make sure that, you want to fix it up. Why? Because somebody's going to come by and they're going to look at your temple. Somebody's going to come by and they're going to look at your tabernacle. And if you got all sorts of stuff, by the way, you can walk in anybody's room you want to and you can tell what type of person they are. You can look at what they have hanging on their wall. You can tell who their heroes are. You can walk into a room and see how clean it is, and just by seeing how clean it is, you can be able to define very quickly what their character's like. I mean, you're able to tell about people just by the way that they live. Now, here's what God says. He said, man, I've given you a foundation. The foundation is build that house, build that tabernacle, build that temple upon the right foundation. Christ. And by the way, when you do that, God will bless you for that. Have you ever done this? I'm done. Here we go. Have you? I may say that four or five times, so don't put your shoes on yet, please. Have you ever done this during Christmas time? We love this. My wife loves to look at lights. Now, can I be honest with you? I've lost the thrill of that. I'm so sorry I have. I've lost the thrill of it. As a matter of fact, we lived in New York City many years ago, and we would go down in the Bushwick area, and we owned a building there, and it was for runaway boys and girls, and it was called International Home for Runaway Boys and Girls. And so we had that down there. The church owned it, and Brother Cairo was the director of it. And we'd go down there. We'd set lawn chairs out during the 4th of July. It was a four-story building, and right across in the harbor was the Statue of Liberty. And so we'd watch all of the fireworks being shot off in the harbor over the Statue of Liberty. And may I say, once you see something like that, there's no other fireworks that just really kind of match up. My wife loves fireworks. My children love fireworks. So every 4th of July, we'll go out and we'll look at the fireworks. Now, I don't sit there like, wow, we got to look at fireworks again. I mean, I go and I enjoy it. We have a good time. I enjoy being with them. I just enjoy being with them. But sometimes there's fireworks that shot off in our neighborhood. Now, they're not supposed to do that. But sometimes there's fireworks being shot off in the neighborhood, and my entire family will run upstairs to the second story of the house. They will run upstairs, and they'll say, hey, fireworks! And I say, that's good. Dad, aren't you going to come up and look? No, just tell me about it when you get done. And don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's like, wow. And so my family loves the Christmas lights and loves to be able to go down where the Christmas lights are shining, and I'm thinking, that's a neat thing. And so we'll go down and we'll watch the Christmas lights. Now I do things, and I love my family, so I'll do. Sometimes Mrs. Wells gets this shopping thing in her head. And so her and my daughter want to go shopping, and here comes the question. Do you want to go? And I say, I'd enjoy going and spending time with you. And so we'll go shopping. Hello? You do things because you love someone. Is that right? That's why you do things. And so could it not be that as those of us that are saved tonight, with Jesus Christ being our foundation, that we would just do some things because we love him? Well, I just don't really understand why it's so important to put the studs this far apart and this close. Might not have to understand everything. might just understand that, it's the best thing to do. Well, I just don't really understand how come it's important to put this type of thick sheet rock up in this area and this type of thin sheet rock up or thinner in another. Might not have to understand everything. Might be good just to say, okay, we understand there's a Bible principle. I don't understand why God wrote it, but I understand he put it there. And I don't have to put God on trial. I don't say, well, God, let me tell you how I really feel about that verse. God, I wish you wouldn't have put that verse in the Bible. God, let me just cut out all those verses that deal with tithing, and I'd feel a whole lot better. God, if you don't mind, let me just cut out all those verses that deal with holy living, and boy, I'd feel a whole lot better about that. God, this thing about church and faithful and soul winning and gospel and But the more of scripture that you use to build your house upon the foundation, the stronger your house will be. And people will ride by, just like we ride by at Christmas time, say, oh, that's a beautiful house. Well, look at that one. That's a beautiful. Now, I'll tell you what, I love churches. I love it. I love going into churches and looking at structures. I do. I love it. One of my favorite pastimes. I love driving up to a church and say, I'd like to come in and see your building. Can I come in and see your building? I love it. We were doing the bathrooms here. I can't tell you how many pictures came in. I said, guys, look, everywhere you go that has a bathroom, go. Take pictures. You go in to take the pictures. Go. Go in, take pictures of everything. Pictures of everything. Okay, all right, forget you. Thank you. The floor, the ceiling, yes. Just go take pictures. When it came time to do the bathrooms here, you know what we did? We had hundreds and hundreds of pictures that we were going through. Yeah, we like that, we don't like that, this is neat, that. When we did the lobby, get away from that thought. Didn't go over too well. We did the lobby. Oh, we're taking a picture. We're looking for, you know, the same thing about the auditorium. All right, now, wait a minute. What are we doing? We're looking for ways to build upon the foundation that God has given us. Why, as a young preacher, I love to see Brother Hiles preach. Somebody walked in our chapel, sir, our chapel over there, a visitor, and said, oh, wow, I see all these guys. It must be who you identify with. Not seen pictures like this in years. Well, that's good. It's good to identify with somebody. And so, man, you know, I remember we'd drive for 2 and 3 hours to hear Brother Hiles preach. And I just watch him. To me, he was an amazing man. Say what you will, think what you will. I don't care. Amazing man. You know, and I would watch him. I'd watch him, Brother Boakley, as he'd get up from the chair and just walk to the pulpit. I thought, that's neat. That's neat. Watch the way he carries himself. Lee Robertson, to me, was Noah. Noah, I think he was still alive. I think that there was probably 9 people on the ark. One of those was Lee Robertson, not 8. Snowy white hair. Get up, he had the crooked finger. He'd point this way, and he got you. He had that crooked finger. I'm telling you. You. I thought an amazing guy. An amazing guy. Lived to be 97. Amazing guy. You know, Brother Roloff with his crazy stunts and flying. I thought, hey, amazing guy. I don't know if the plane is right side up or wrong side up. I don't know. What do? I spit on the windshield, see which way it runs. Just an amazing guy. Tom Malone. Blue glasses. I think he got them from Elvis. Yeah, Elvis had the blue suede shoes. Tom Malone had the blue suede glasses. He had those blue glasses, you know, outside in the sunlight. You couldn't tell what color his eyes were. Nobody could. They were so dark blue, you couldn't tell. But we'd take our boys. We'd go around people. You know, some people go to the rodeo, and some people go to ball games, and we went to hear preachers. You know, that's just what we did. You know, and I got my boys. Before Rebecca was born, we're taking these boys all over. Of course, these guys started dying off. But I remember doing stuff like that. Okay, now wait a minute. Watch this. Okay, so I chose who I would bring in my life, who I'd bring in my life to be able to build upon that foundation. I chose. Now, may I say, you have to choose in your life who you will bring in your life to be able to structure yourself to build upon the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. You know, life is about choices, is it not? It really is. Some people choose to come Sunday morning only. Some choose to come Sunday morning, Sunday night. Some Wednesday night. Choices, choices, choices. Some get involved. They go out soul winning. Some work on bus routes. Some work in Sunday school classes. Some sing in the choir. Some live in the nursery. Choices. You have to choose what type of structure you're going to build upon that foundation, who is Christ. Make the wise choices.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.